I got the sunshine out.
So you better.
I wish I could.
Everyone that will, come to the choir and we'll get started. Page 482.
Thank you.
390 in the same book. Randy, I've had this song on my mind all morning. It's I Surrender All. The last verse in particular, it says, oh, the joy of full salvation. Yeah. Glory, glory to his name.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. Go ahead.
He made me lower it too, instead of where it's written, so don't y'all cry. Explain exactly where
it is. I probably can't even sing it.
Oh.
everybody that one.
I got one. In the Songs of Faith, number 450. yeah, 450.
It's not bad.
450.
It was different though.
It was
pretty
different. All right. Stormy waters all around me, waves are
after this, if no one else has anything, we'll let the choir go down.
I'm
baptize when the choir go down. Everyone that will may not.
Like I say, we appreciate the privilege this morning, an opportunity to be back in the house of the Lord, and appreciate you able to come today. Hope you had a good week. We need your prayers. A lot of things, I guess, crossed our hearts and our minds as even we've been here this morning, and we just asked you to pray for us for just a minute. Might be able to get ourselves out of the way. Do that, we feel the Lord's laid on our hearts. Gonna read some. Gonna read in several different places, I guess. Just trust that the Lord's seeing what we stand in need of. This morning, I've enjoyed the singing. Been good. There's no place like being at home with the Lord. They just sang that song, says, when I'm in trouble. Amen. And they start out, says, I need Jesus and you need him too. How true that is. If we could just realize how much we really needed him. I'm going to read some fairly familiar scripture out of the Old Testament, and then I'm going to read one verse, I believe. Well, maybe two or three verses out of the New Testament this morning. Try our best to do that. We feel the Lord's laid on our hearts. If I was in trouble and needed someone to pray for me, I'd just soon have this church pray for me as anybody I know. Anybody. I thought as they sung the song, Eldest wrote, if Eldest had been here this morning, she'd have been shout. But you know what? Eldest ain't here. Why ain't she, preacher? She's left the battlefield. And you will too one day. You surely will. Book of Exodus, the 21st chapter. And then we're going to read some out of the book of Numbers, starting with the 35th chapter. That's all I'll give you at the moment. I just pray that we'll be able to get ourselves out of the way. Let the Lord have His way. His way is better than our way. His way, the end is much better than the other ways. Kathy sang that song, I'll Take the Road I Know. The Baptists have a quote, slogan, I guess is a word for it, or a motto, whatever. If you tell anybody around that you're a Baptist, most of them thinks, first thought they think is, well, them Baptists believe you can live any old way and go to heaven. But the truth is, that's the furthest thing from the truth. Amen. Of what we believe. But we have that name. Doesn't matter where you go. Doesn't matter who you talk to. I thought as the singers sing song Sunday night that's sort of the impression that I got. You know, us Baptists just let anything go. And you're going to heaven. There ain't but one way you're going to make it to heaven. And that's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. And folks, if you get saved, born again, you will act like it. You'll live like it. I know what I'm talking about. You say, preacher, there's people all over this world that claim that they've been saved, and yeah, but their fruit don't show that they've ever been there. You're judging. Judge the fruit. Eat the fruit. If you can find any fruit. We had probably a difficult chapter in our Sunday school this morning. Difficult for most folks. Bruce said it right. Most folks don't like to read the book of Jude. You know, it makes you get to reading the Word of God and it starts making you examine yourself. You most of the time you'll set it aside. Well, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to go to church anymore because I hear the same old message. You know, what we receive out of the house of God is not dependent upon the man that delivers the message. Amen. It's dependent upon the heart that receives what the Lord sends. And that's a fact. That's a fact. There's I don't know a lot of things I'd like to tell you this morning, but I'm going to read some. I became 1 year older this week. I'm actually 7 days older than I was last Sunday. People a lot of times get hung up on birthdays. I've never been one to get hung up on a birthday. I'm thankful for every one I've had. And I hope I see a few more. I really do. But there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that I'll be here next Sunday. I plan on being here. I already plan. Already. I ain't even got out of this service that I'm already planning. I'm already planning on being here Wednesday night. Yes, sir. It's in the works. Robert said something in our Sunday school. I'm going to repeat what he said as close as I can. He said, the Lord don't fix everything. something to that effect. That's what he said. It's what I received. The Lord don't fix everything. And he sort of done his hands like that, and he said, I don't know why. Well, I don't know why either. But there's some things he don't fix. The scripture come up about Paul, where Paul prayed three times for the thorn in the flesh to be removed. And the Bible says that the Lord didn't remove it. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. There's some things you'll live with. Sister Louise Abernathy, if you ain't never been to Stoner's, years ago we had three or four Louise Abernathys in Stoner's church. But Sister Louise Abernathy, Brother Walden's wife, got up one Wednesday night. She had had cancer. And she had went through treatments and different things. And in her testimony, she said, When I had the cancer, she said, I prayed the Lord give me 10 years. She said, it's been 13. Huh? Been 13. You think the Lord answered her prayer? Well, she did. She believed it. Do you know you can't stop me from believing? And the truth of it is, you can't make me believe. Either or. Every one of us sitting here this morning has an idea. And we have a way that we believe things. I know what I'm talking about. And a lot of times how we believe things and how things really are is two different things. They're just miles apart. The Lord wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your master. We sung the song this morning, I Surrender All. And the truth of it is, that's exactly what the Lord wants. Is all. All. You take the book of Jude and it sounds like there's no compassion. It sounds like there's no mercy when it comes to Jude. But in the last part of it, Crafton quoted, he talked about some, he said, said you have to have compassion. Did he not? Some having compassion, save some with compassion, in other words. And then he said, save some with fear, pulling them out of the fire, pulling them out of the situation that they're in. Folks, I want you to know this morning that God is able to deliver me and you out of any situation we're in. He's able to do that. Now the truth of it is, will he? He may turn and look at you and just give you the grace to go through it. And you will appreciate the fact that God is with you. Amen. Amen. Brethren, there's people that needs to know that God will, God can, but sometimes God just don't do it. sometimes. They was something that the children of Israel had to do. I'm going to read a little bit to you. You may think that in the scriptures plain, the law was not merciful. The law said, what? Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. One thing. Thou shalt not. That's what the law said. Thou shalt not. Now, God didn't destroy everybody that went after other gods. No, He didn't. And the commandment stood still. Yeah. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. How in the world does a nation that belonged to God serve an idol? How in the world does that happen? It happens because men think they know more than God. Amen. They come to Aaron and they said, Aaron said, Moses is gone. Where's he at? Aaron had no clue, said he's on the mountain. And that ain't all. Listen. These folks come to Aaron more than one time. First time, my friend, I believe it was a stern no. I believe that. Second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time. You go on, you go to the book, my friend, of Judges. You'll find out how Delilah, my friend, got the answer out of Samson. She done it by continually prodding him. I don't care what you are. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been saved. Brethren, that continual prodding, my friend, will wear you down sometimes. Yes, it will. It doesn't matter. I've listened to messages. I've seen men preach. My friend, get out of the pulpit and do the very thing they preached against. Yes, sir. It's happened. I've seen it. It devastated a young man, my friend, that was trying to find his way. You can't live like the devil and God be pleased with it this morning. Amen. It don't happen. I've thought about fear. Fear. I feared my dad. My dad put fear in me. I don't care what you believe. Because my dad told me, he said, son, said, you do this. And he said, you've had it. And you know what I could bank on, Leroy? If I ever done that, then I had it. There's consequences coming, my friend. That didn't stop me, folks, from doing some things that I really feared my dad on. I can say that because I got caught. I got caught, 15-year-old. My friend, listen, it ain't always, brethren, the way you think it is. God hates sin. 2025, God hates sin. Sin separated, brethren, me and you from Him. That's what separated. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. Yes, sir, the separation. That's the reason they went through the things that they went through. It's the reason that mankind suffered like he did down through the journey was because of the sin that had been committed. You can't turn around in 2025, my friend, and wipe the slate away and say that it's okay today. It's not okay. Sin is sin. Always has been. Now I'm going to get to the message here in a minute. I don't know where I'll read or not. I'm thinking about it. But the real truth of it is, my friend, it ain't what we've got planned out. It ain't, brethren, what we think ought to happen. You might think that it's just a bed of roses to be a preacher for God. But I'm going to tell you, my friend, there's a lot of work involved. Amen. Yes, they are. And there's a lot of not doing. Yes, sir. It's the fifth Sunday. Y'all know what that means to Mountain View? Do you know Mountain View tells their pastor? Do they not? On the fifth Sunday, you don't have to show up. Yes, sir. You don't have to be here on the fifth Sunday. You tell me what I'm doing here today. Amen. Think about it. Amen. Brethren, it's because I've got a desire, thank God, to do what God had me to do. That's why I'm here. You won't know why I enjoy being here like I enjoy being here. Because it's where I belong. Amen. Yes, sir. These folks, I've had people I don't know down through the years said, can't you find a closer church? I'd like to come hear you. Yeah. Well, I've pastored churches 2 miles from my house. I didn't see them. Woo! Glory to God, you listen to me. Brethren, you'll never fit anywhere else if God's got you tuned this away. You won't do it. You won't fit nowhere. You'll be like a fish out of water. And a fish can't survive out of water. They got to have it. Yes, sir. You may think, preacher, you just believe that God puts the fear in you. You know, when I got caught doing something I shouldn't have been doing. Me and four more boys, five of us, I believe. Anyway, we got caught. Everything was fine until we got caught. When we got caught, my friend, you know what? We had a pretty smart principal. He took us boys, and he took us in his office. He set us down. He talked to us like we was one of His. Yes, He did. He looked at every one of us and He said, boys, He said, you're going to tell your parents what you've done. And I'll be quite frank with you. There's five boys that thought they was man enough to do anything, but they did not want to talk to their parents about what they had done. Listen. And He said, you're going to talk to them when you get home today. He said, and in the morning, you're going to bring them back here with you. Mm-hmm. Huh? And you will be expelled from school for 3 days. Yes, sir. It got good around the house. It did. That fear, my friend, of me fearing my dad to tell him what I'd done, my friend, it was real. You hear me? It was real. My dad worked second shift. He got in about 1:30 in the morning. And I heard him when he come in. And I laid there the rest of the night. And I hated to get him up the next day, but I had to. He had something he had to do. You talking about fear. That wasn't fear enough. He went to school with me. We sat down in front of the principal, and the principal told me and him why I was being expelled. We got in the car, and before we got home, he said, you'll tell your grandparents. Huh? You'll tell your grandparents. You talking about fear. Fear. Listen to me. I didn't want to face them. I didn't want to tell them. Why, preacher? I'd done something that I was ashamed of. That's why. I said all that to say this. My friend, there's no more fear today. No more fear of doing the right thing. I know what I'm talking about, folks. People just covers everything up and says, the Lord will have mercy on me. I'm here to tell you, you're going to die with that thought. There ain't but one way God have mercy on you. That's you repent of your sin, my friend, and get right with Him. I'm talking about in tune with Him, a relationship with Him, and you fear Him as you would fear a father. You hear me? Preacher, you're out of order. I got news for you. I've been out of order for a few years. Yes, sir. And at this point, I ain't going to change. Preacher, you can't preach like you preach, my friend, and expect people to live like that. Let me ask you a question. Has God changed anything? Has He? When He called me to preach, he didn't tell me to preach the word. He impressed me. I felt the calling. I didn't have no clue to begin with what was going on. I'm serious. They sang that old song, voices far off somewhere calling me. Voices. Preacher, not like that. I got news for you. I heard them. I heard them. I worked in a plant, worked in a carpet mill, and I walked down the aisle one day, and somebody said, Randy, and I turned around. There wasn't nobody in that aisle. Nobody. That wasn't the first time I'd heard it. That's the first time I turned. You hear me? Preacher, you mean God talked to you? Amen. He talked to me. And I was headed down that same aisle one day, a few days after that, and I heard it, and I said, there's somebody playing a game. I run as fast as I could to the hallway up through our wooden soul. Wasn't nobody around. I'd lay my head on my pillow at night and God get to talking to me. And I'd shun him. I'd shut him off. Well, I tried to. I did. I tried to. I just tried to cut him off. I've told this before, and I'm going to tell you, brethren, there was fear in my heart. Fear. Genuine fear. They was having a revival meeting over yonder at Dry Creek Baptist Church. I went over. Brethren, when I got over there and they had an old altar call, I hit the altar. I wanted some relief. That's what I wanted. I'd get up out of that altar and I'd tell the church over there, I said, well, I just ain't been doing what the Lord want me to. Preacher, we don't do that. Amen. You probably ought to. I went a couple of months, done the same thing. They had revival meeting over again. I went back over there. Got an altar. Yes, sir. Got up and told him, I said, I just ain't doing what the Lord wants me to. I want to tell you something. I don't know. I don't know how the Lord dealt with other men. But brethren, it made me shun the Lord. It made me quit reading my word. It made me go backwards and not forward. Now I'm going to tell you something. When you're just standing still, you're backing up. You ever heard the old saying, an idle mind is a devil's playhouse? Heard that all my life. Do you know why they say that? Because idleness, my friend, will get you in trouble. Yes, it will. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter this morning. This man preached a wonderful message last Sunday. He did. Y'all know what he preached on? Well, preacher, it's been 7 days. We ain't thought no more about that message. He preached on refuge. Did he not? Yes, sir. He preached on refuge. And the truth of it is, he didn't preach it out. He didn't even get around to all that he needed to get around to. No, he didn't. So he was Pete, and I'm going to be repeat. Refuge. You say, preacher, refuge can't be said after all what you said. I want you to know we need a refuge. Amen. We need a place, my friend, of shelter. Yes, we do. We need a place of comfort. The children of Israel was commanded to build 48 cities outside of home, Jerusalem. 48 cities, 42 of them was going to be for the Levites, the priesthood. Read it. I was going to read it. You're going to have to read it. I ain't going to get around to it. And six cities they built, my friend, for cities of refuge. Yes, sir. Six cities. You can read it. You can find it. Deuteronomy, Numbers, the 35th chapter. It's in Deuteronomy. Refuge. They needed a place of refuge. If a man had killed a man or another one in unawares, not meaning to, they could run to the refuge and live. Live. Comfortably live in a city of refuge. The Bible says the only safe place that man could live was in that city. As long as that priest was a living. Read it. It's in there. Folks, you don't think that this world needs a place of refuge? Huh? You don't think, my friend, that people need a place of comfort and peace? Brethren, that's exactly what the church is. I'll preach it. I believe it. That refuge comes from God, and it comes straight through the house of God, which is the church of God. Yes, sir. I'm going to tell you, I'd have loved to have found a place of refuge when I got in trouble, but I had none. Huh? I was guilty. That's the reason, that's what made it so bad. I was guilty. Guilty. Wound up in court. Wound up before a grand jury. 15-year-old. Yes, sir. Some of them daddies didn't like what went on. And them daddies got together and they said, "We're going to put a stop to this." Huh? "We're going to put a stop to this." They went a little further. They made a case out of it. Yes, sir. They wasn't but two of us went before the grand jury, and I was one of them. Scared absolutely to death. You listen to me this morning. My friend, the Bible says that this city of refuge, as long as that man stayed in that city, he was safe. Just as safe as me and you are. And the man of people, that if he killed a man, them people could not come and get him. But if that man got out of the border of the city, you know what happened? If he run over the line, he got out of the line, my friend, he was free, free for anything. Yes, sir. And the Bible says, if the people, my friend, hunted him and slew him, they was not guilty of such. What the book says. Read it. So the city of refuge, my friend, was a great thing if you'd have messed up. Not only did I go before a grand jury, I went before the court. Yes, sir. scared absolutely to death. Thought, my friend, I was the guilty one when I was actually a witness. Yeah. You hear me? But it didn't matter. I was scared to death. In my daddy's eyes, I done messed up. Messed up. You say, preacher, you mean to tell me that if a man killed a man and unaware that he wasn't guilty? I didn't say that. And the book don't say that. The book actually says he can go to the city of refuge, and if the congregation finds him guilty, brethren, they'll put him to death. Amen. Yes, sir. That's what it says. If they pursued it. If the family pursued it. But if the family didn't pursue it, he could live there just as long as the priest lived. Listen, the priest that was in charge. That's what he's talking about. I got too much. Wonderful, wonderful message about refuge. Refuge, comfort, peace, shelter. Brother, you can't ask for nothing better, thank God, than being in the arms of the Lord this morning. Amen. Ain't nothing like it. Nothing. You say, preacher, I hadn't fled for refuge. You go read Hebrews the 6th chapter. Amen. Yes, sir. And tell me, my friend, you ain't been needing refuge. Huh? You needed help when you was lost. Yeah. Yes, sir. You're just like that man that's guilty. And you found out you was guilty. They wasn't but one remedy. Thank God for you this morning. That was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ask me. Heard a man say one time, somebody asked him about the Spirit, my friend. He said, I'm going to tell you just like this. He said, you tell me how a black cow eats green grass and gives white milk. Yeah. How's that? How's that happen, Robert? Huh? Listen. Think about it. I'll tell you one thing. You can tell if them cows got in wild onions. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You'll know it in the milk. That's part of that fruit, you know. That's part of that fruit. When a man gets born again, when a man comes in off the street, my friend, and tells us he got saved, my friend, we start looking for fruit. Do we not? The church is a refuge. Thank God for them that need it this morning. The 99 don't need it. Thank God the one that's lost does. Yes, sir. Needs a place of refuge. Comfort. Peace. Do you ever, there are days, we sang an old song, there are days I like to be all alone with me and my Lord. Don't you? Don't you? The man that wrote that song knows exactly what he is talking about. Yes, sir. They are days. They are days, Leroy, that we need just a little bit of quietness. Amen. Do you know that? Yeah. Can I tell you something? It'll help you. It ain't going to hurt you. The truth of it is, they are days and every day that you need some sort of quietness. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't care if you had to get in the closet and shut the door. There's times, my friend, you need just a little bit of quietness. I know what I'm talking about. You listen. Refuge. I'm going to read you some. It's going to be very little, but I'm going to read you some. You may be here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I don't need that." I'm going to say this. Not many times in the Bible, but there's a few times when the Lord says, "Verily."
Yeah.
It's written in red. But there are a few times that he says, "Verily, verily."
Amen.
You hear me?
Yeah.
I'm going to say, my friend, he started it and I'm going to finish it. Well, I ain't going to finish it. I'm just going to give you my portion of it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Refuge.
Yeah.
Refuge. I thought about his message. I did when I left here Sunday afternoon. And I'm going to be quite frank with you, Crafton. That's about as far as it went.
Yeah.
Huh? Ain't many people tell you that. Preacher, you mean tell me you just forgot about his message? Well, I didn't forget it. I just had enough. Had enough. But I'm going to tell you what the Lord got to doing. Yeah. About Wednesday morning, he got to working on me. Yeah. Yes, sir. You know what he worked on me with? He worked on me with him. What he preached. Yes, sir. He says, "You need to get to reading. You need to get to reading. Find out a little more about what he preached on." He said it before he sat down Sunday, did he not? Come on, Randy, finish this. Is that what you said? Well, that's the words that come to me Wednesday morning. Huh? Yes, sir. I heard you. Huh? You don't think the Lord, my friend, knows how to get a hold of a heart? I don't care what age you are. I don't care where you're at in your social society, my friend, God still has a way of getting your attention. Now, I'm going to say this because I really believe it. My mother was raised in a family. She was a family of 13. Big family. I had a good grandfather. She had a good father. But there's a lot of worldly things went on in that family. You hear me? A lot of worldly things. She was raised up in men that became drinkers, carousers, yes, sir, fighters. I had an uncle, my friend, the only uncle still living. He'd give you a shirt off his back. He'll do it. But when he gets to drinking, he ain't worth 2 cents. He ain't worth shooting, just to be honest with you. And stayed in more trouble. Said at one time he didn't even believe in God. He'd come home in a drunken state, and he got a little out of the way with his wife, and she shot him. Went through his wrist, hit his belt buckle. And she asked him, because he was pleading. Who was he pleading with? He was pleading with God. She said, who was it you was pleading with? You don't believe in God. Huh? You say, "Preacher, you ought not tell them stories." I'm telling on my family. But when I got in trouble, my friend, there was some more wheels that had already been working in place that I know nothing about. My mother worked with women that went to church, churchgoers. She had been with them for several years. And she had heard all the conversations. Tammy, she got to the point, I believe with all my heart, that she said, I'm not going to raise a son like that.
Amen.
You hear me?
Yep.
You hear me?
Yep.
She was about 38 year old. Yes, sir. Worked most her life, most all her life, till she couldn't. But listen, she had had enough. She had had enough. Not long after I'd got in trouble, my friend, this woman started going to church. When I say go to church, she, her and my two sisters, every Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, they was gone. Gone. We got up one Thursday morning, and then we'll forget it. My mother, she fixed whatever we wanted for breakfast, pretty much, but she never did get up and pre-do it. She always asked. This morning, brother, she had breakfast on the table. Everything in place. I was sitting there minding my own business, and she come over and hugged me. Yes, sir. Crying. Said, Randy, said, the Lord saved me last night. That's what she told me. I didn't know what saved was. Do you know that? I just sat in there thinking, I was 15 years old. I thought she'd lost her mind. Yes, sir. You say, preacher, I wouldn't tell people that. That's exactly what happened. And that's exactly what I thought. What's happened to this woman? Something has changed. And folks, it changed our life. Don't tell me God can't work. Don't tell me God can't get a hold of you. Brethren, the truth of it is, He's got a hold of folks. And brethren, they've just pushed it off. They've just set it aside. This went on a month or two. One Wednesday night, they was gone. Daddy went to bed early, got up early. Didn't work second shift then, he worked first shift. But he left about 3:30 in the morning. They was all gone. Daddy's in the bed, and he called me in there and said, come in here, I want to talk to you. I had no clue, folks, what was going on. I was clueless. But what was really happening, God was dealing with that man's heart. He is 40, 41 year old. Listen, God had his attention. Yes, sir, I can see it. I got good hindsight. I can see what's going on now. Then I couldn't see nothing. They called me in there and he said, son, he said, I don't know what's happened to your mother. Says she loves that church and them preachers and what have you down there more than she does me. And he said, I've had enough and I'm leaving. That's the words he said. I thought to myself, well, what in the world are we going to do? How are we going to make it? I didn't know. Well, that was Wednesday evening. Well, Thursday morning, about 2:30, you know what happened? My dad got saved. Side his bed. Huh? Jesus, come in. Yes, sir. I had no clue, folks, that God was working on him. I'm going to tell you something this morning. You might not like it. He preached a wonderful message. And the truth of it is, we are the place of refuge.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You won't get it. I say this many, many, many times. I think about it, my friend. I can't help what condition you're in. Brethren, the church is still the best place for you.
Amen.
You'll wind up getting fixed quicker here than you will out yonder.
Amen.
Yes, you will. If we can't be the refuge, my friend, church, brethren, the world ain't got a hope this morning.
Amen.
Yes, sir. It's instituted. It's commanded. Brethren, you don't think, you say, preacher, you're one of them preachers that preaches hard all the time. I got news for you. That hard preaching ain't going to hurt you a bit.
Amen.
No, sir.
Amen.
And the truth of it is, when it comes time for you to find water, I believe you'll know where to get it.
Yes.
Brethren, I believe God's get a hold of your heart. Thank God you cannot deny the fact that the Holy Spirit is in the matter.
Yes,
yes, sir. My dad got saved. That meant Randy went to church. Yes, sir. That's how it worked. That's how it was. So I went to church. One September night, Wednesday. I've told this before. That it's worth telling. They didn't have preaching on Wednesday night. Never did. The whole time we went, they hadn't had preaching. This particular Wednesday night, Brother Carlton Rogers preached.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And when he finished preaching, he asked Bob, he said, you get you a verse. We're going to sing a verse of invitation. Yes, sir. I was back yonder, three quarters of the way back. It's where we sit, us young people, we'd all sit together, two or three bunches of us, quite a few of us. They wasn't but one of us in trouble. Did you know that? That night. One. How in the world did that man know that I was in trouble? How did he know I needed what he is preaching about? And the truth of it is, I couldn't tell you one word he preached. Preacher, that don't make sense. That spirit works. Huh? That spirit gets a hold of that heart. You won't run then. I would to God. I do. I would to God you'd get in trouble just like I did. Because the truth of it is, I know where you wind up. I know where. You know, we play tough most of the time. But the truth of it is, when that spirit gets to working on us, we melt. We melt. We come down. Yes, sir. God can't save you up there no way. You're going to have to be down here. Ain't that right? Are we not a city of refuge? They went through the first verse. I stood back there just as firm as I could and holding a bench, just shaking like a leaf. And in my mind, I said, Lord, they'll sing another verse, I'll go. What's the chances? That's what I was thinking. What's the chances they going to sing two verses? They ain't never sung one on Wednesday night. Not an invitation. You hear me? But I'm going to tell you something. The invitation had been given. And brethren, that man that preached back there, he might not have known everything, but I'll promise you, he knowed enough that he had to preach. Had he not preached, had they not sung a second verse, my friend, I wouldn't have come. Fact. Fact. They sung the first verse. Carlton said a few words. He looked at Bob and he said, sing another verse. I know then. I know then. I'd had it. That's it. Robert, the last thing I remember, my friend, is coming out of that pew. That's the last thing I remember. Amen. Yes, sir. I couldn't tell you all together what I said down here. I'm honest. Can't tell you all together. Didn't see no big light. Didn't hear no big shouts. Thank God I come down here a lost man, and I got up a saved. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what refuge will do for you. Listen to me. Listen. I got up. I told the church that night. I said, Lord, save me. That's all I told them. Thank God. You know, that's all that happened. Woo! That's all I needed. And the truth of it is, I didn't know I needed that. But I did. Devil got to working on me from here to there. Before I went out them doors, the devil said, you don't have to tell nobody at school. So ain't nobody go to school here, will you? You ain't got to tell nobody nothing. I shy anyway. I didn't care. I agreed with him. That's good enough. I told the church. Good enough. I can live with that.
Bless
him. Got in a vehicle, go to school the next morning.
Yeah.
Two mile trip. Bless him. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Don't tell me God can't get a hold of a 15-year-old boy.
Amen.
You ain't going to make me believe it. Oh, Eddie backed that car out. We got in the highway and we headed right down toward school. Little old bridge down there, 300-400-500 yards, something. Ain't far. My heart was beating out of my chest. I'm not lying. I mean, just beating. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you're going to have to tell him. I thought, I ain't telling him. That's the problem. But before we hit that bridge, my friend, I done looked over at Eddie and I said, Eddie, Lord, save me last night. Yes, sir. And the devil said just as quickly, he said, you've messed up. Best thing ever done. You hear me? Best thing ever done. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You in trouble, you in a good place.
Amen.
Yes, sir. You needing help, you in a good place.
Yeah.
You need to escape, thank God you're in a good place.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to come brokenhearted.
Yeah.
Brokenhearted. And with a contrite spirit. Yes, sir. Preacher, I don't understand that. The truth of it is you don't have to. Do you know that? I didn't know how to get saved.
No.
I didn't know what was going to happen down there, Jeff. But I know where I had to go to get relief from my lost state. Preacher, how you know you was lost? I knowed if I died in my condition, I was going to hell. That's about as good as knowledge you need. Ain't it? Ain't it? I knowed if I died, Crafton, I wouldn't write with him. I know that. If you know that, without a doubt this morning, you are exactly the one I'm talking to. Refuge. Refuge. I'm going to read it. I ain't going to read all that, but I'm going to read, this. You can find it. I done told you. Hebrews, the 6th chapter. I believe it is. I'm going to read more than one verse. He says, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Amen. Listen. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Can I say this? Brethren, I'm in refuge, and the priest, my friend, will never die.
Amen.
Amen. He is eternal. I am safe, redeemed. Thank God, got the hope and the peace that comes with knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. He is our eternal high priest. Ain't another need for another. Stand. We'll sing a verse of a song. I give you all I could. I did. I give you all I could, and I'm just going to say, like I say a lot of times, I ain't finished. But if you need help, if you're struggling in the way, if you're one of them that's just standing by and saying, I'm going to see what happens, I got news for you. He don't want you to be a bystander. He wants you to be one of us. One of us. You can be that leads some lost person to the Lord. Refuge. Hope. Peace. Comfort. God loves you. You know the truth of it is, the church loves you. And there's a place of refuge for you. This morning, while they sang, how about it?